Superman is gay. Yes, again, they wanted to remind you that Jonathan Kent, the son of Kal-El, is gay or bisexual. Do we even have to put labels on things anymore? Apparently DC does, and they have to remind you again. Plus, what is going on with, well, I have to pull up my notes. Oh, it's good we're together, because we are listening to the SBC Newsroom. I am Remzo Martinez with my co-host extraordinaire, the miraculous Mr. Mark Claire. Mark.
Miraculous is right, because look, I just survived. Come on.
You just survived. Ian. Just survived. Yeah.
Ian is, no, I don't want to downplay it, because I we're honestly very lucky. We're about an hour north. We're far enough from the coast. Like, we're considered a potential evacuation zone. We're in what's called evacuation zone E, which is like the latest letter, and they evacuated evacuation zone A and B. So we were like, you know, two zones away from being in potential danger before the storm.
But I hear Martha's Vineyard is accepting refugees.
I heard that they could reroute us up there. Which show are we on again?
I don't quite remember. Oh, so much news. I went ahead and pulled up my notes. The newsroom, and I want to preface this because I was having a conversation with somebody the other night about this. A lot of the comic book and entertainment news we've been getting, if you really think about it, Mark, isn't necessarily new. A lot of the news we're still getting is catching up from the massive delays done to Hollywood and the comic book industry from 2020. So when we're getting news, we're not necessarily getting anything substantially new, except one of the topics we'll be discussing today regarding Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. But we're like getting little updates, little layers of things that a lot of outlets are exaggerating, like CBR and Nerdist, in order to make it seem bigger. And we're going to go ahead and lead with this today, and then we'll go ahead and get into the Deadpool talk. I know, folks, how could I possibly forget off the top of my head what the buzz of the week is, or as Dwayne Johnson is calling it, the moment that stole all his Black Adam thunder. So let's go ahead and jump into this, Mark. You remember, like, 6 months ago? Maybe it was 6 months ago. The news came out. No, it feels more like a year ago. A year ago. Yeah, nothing is that new. Superman's son, Jonathan Kent, came out as bisexual.
I do remember that.
That itself was not necessarily the most insane part. The insane part was how they basically
Isn't it funny how
that
fictional characters can come out? Like, I don't know.
It's weird, because they go ahead and throw that in, and it's like, okay, well, you know, especially me as somebody who was subscribing, you know, getting that stuff directly in my mailbox to the Superman Son of Kal-El series, they made it not just a part of the story, they made it the entire story. Nothing substantial has really happened. He hasn't really fought any major bad guys. He's fought some third world dictator who they're trying to make like evil robot Trump and shit like that. But everything has just always been, do you know that Jonathan Kent is gay? Do you know that Superman is gay, and he's gay, and he's gay, and he's gay, and he's gay? No, he's bisexual. We have to go ahead and flip it, bisexual. And now, almost a year after the debut of Superman Son of Kal-El on stands, they are reminding people once again, hey, world, did you know he's bisexual? So, Mark, do you know he's bisexual?
I mean, I've been made aware that there are writers that are using that device as a, can we call it a storytelling? Here's the thing. I have read books, media, this sort of thing, where a character's sexuality, or them dealing with their sexuality, or something like that, was an integral and logical and even rational and even enjoyable part of the story. Like, I haven't read this new Superman at all, but you were reading it for a little while. So, I mean, I presume by your reaction, the answer is no, but is this related to an interesting story at all? Or is there just like, hey, here's Superman, and then, by the way, we're just going to tell you this, unrelated to like trying to tell a compelling story.
So
that's really the only thing I ever care about.
So to give you a juxtaposed version, Superman started dating this guy who's a hacktivist. He's part Anonymous.
Oh, God,
part
I hate
Antifa.
This already. I hate this so much already.
Yeah. And what they end up doing.
Let me guess. He's like, oh, but he's a good guy, right? He's a hacktivist.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the Anonymous. Guy. And then they. So let me guess. They hack the DC Comics version of MAGA people. Am I on the right track?
Something like it. Yeah, he has to deal with this fictional country overrun by this guy.
Is this Top Gun Maverick? We have an enemy. We can't name them, but we have an enemy.
Exactly. So it's a fake country with this guy who's half robot, half human. So he's a cyborg, basically. And he's just a jerk, or as Tom Taylor likes to describe him, he's just Trump. And what they basically do is they overthrow the government violently. And at the end of this recent issue, what he does is he's got the whole world focused on him. So instead of talking about like why young Superman decides to overthrow a world leader, how he destabilized a country, how he went ahead and just basically became a terrorist and all this other stuff, he looks at the cameras and says, "Hey, world, watch this." And he kisses his boyfriend in front of everybody. So what makes this the big coming out moment is that at first he came out to readers through the storytelling. Now he's coming out to the world. So I think the only way to keep it relevant from here is for Jonathan Kent to leave Earth with his new Antifa boyfriend and go come out to every planet. So imagine him going to War World, where his father has
coming
been
out to
over
War
the past
World
year, and he's like, "Hey, War
hey, Mongol,
World,
I gotta can I tell your people something?
Mongol, I'm gay," and everyone is just like, "Please."
He's gonna go
slaves
to the future, Brainiac 5, the Legion of Superheroes. I want you all to know, people of the year 3000, I am gay. He's gonna go to different eras now, and then he has to go back through the Crisis and all the Infinite Worlds, and he's gotta go.
It's just
now. I would actually enjoy this because that actually sounds so absurd that I might actually like it. He has to go on the coming out tour through time and space. This could have just been Crisis on Infinite coming out parties.
Could you imagine him? I mean, it turns into like gay Doctor Who at that point. Well, Doctor Who now is gay. Doctor Who is now gay, non-binary, and black for my Doctor Who fans out there. But
is that true?
No, that's true. Sadly, I can't even make that up.
All those at the same time. Same
all
time?
Those at the same time. I think he might also
again.
Be
that might be so ridiculous that I enjoy it. At some point, you come full circle. This is so retarded that I kind of enjoy it. I'm not saying we're there. I'm just saying they could get there.
It could get there. And with the way that they're going, I don't know how they could possibly run out of ideas. But they've been running with this whole storyline of social justice Superman for the past year. And it's just like, how is this? Who is buying these books? That's
not
what
you,
I want
right?
to know. Not me.
Not you anymore.
I actually sold all my physical copies of Son of Kal-El to a used
who bought that? Then you can tell. Then you can actually
you
answer
know how much
who's
I got
buying
for them?
The books.
I got 25 cents per copy, and those are $4 a copy.
Who bought? I'm not asking for their identity, but who bought them? Was it someone on a friend or someone on Craigslist?
No, it was a used bookstore.
Like a regular bookstore or a comic store?
A used bookstore that sells comic
here.
Books.
Like a pawn shop.
Yeah. For comics and books.
I got this watch. I got Kal-El coming out to War World, Son of Kal-El.
Yeah. It was basically that. And they gave me 25 cents a book. And I was just like, I just want something to compensate for me for my time. And
this is interesting timing because didn't you just get a certain book delivered to your house? One that I'm still waiting on.
Yeah.
But it should be here soon. I just got my notice.
I have not read it yet. I'm going to go ahead and read it this weekend, but I have The Antithesis of Gay Superman. I have ISOM issue 1. And let me tell you three things. These aren't spoilers, but this is my first reactions to the book. This is a thick book. I mean, it's got
like the kind of thick
it.
You like
both.
Like 2Ks or
both. It's thick and thick. It is a huge book. It's easily more than 180 pages. I mean, it's a lot of book. And I did read the first 4 or 5 pages just because I had to go through it. And I'm already pulled in. For people thinking this is a statement type of book, for people thinking that this is pushing a thing, no. This reads just like any book off the shelf at any comic book store, except it's good.
So ISOM doesn't go around declaring that he's not gay to everybody else, that's not what this book is.
No, in fact, I think I just got to the I left off at the part where you finally see his face, because the first couple pages is a lot of buildup and stuff, and he has a phone call.
I saw his face
sister
on the cover, didn't I?
Yeah, well, I mean, you see his face in the cover, but I'm talking in the story.
Yeah.
you know, so I'm intrigued. The artwork is phenomenal. First off, it's the same author throughout the entire book. It's Cliff Richards, and then of course it's written by Eric July. It's good. It's a big book. It was worth the pre-order price and everything. And I'm looking forward to reading it cover to cover this weekend.
Speaking of Eric July, we interviewed Eric July about this book, about ISOM, a couple months ago. So it's one of the very few things on the SBC YouTube channel. So check it out. That's where to find it. Very easy.
Yeah, but it is awesome. I saw on Twitter, Eric went ahead and retweeted my photo of me holding the book when it arrived. People are losing their shit. People are really, really excited that the books are finally coming out. They went ahead and had a delay because of some shipping issues, but they're finally sending books over to Europe and other continents. And what's funny is if you go on the comments for a lot of these things, you know how many people replied to my photo and said it was fake? It's like Eric July is paying people to say he bought his book.
That's what the haters are all saying now. They're saying he's not actually delivering a book and not actually... is all a money, you know, laundering scheme. I'm not anti-money laundering. I would be okay with to be involved in a money laundering scheme. So EJ, if you got to skim a little on the top here for whatever reasons, I don't need to know. That's okay. But it's not what it is. It actually is a comic book company where they send you big, thick 2K books. So big. I'm excited for mine. It's in the mail.
Yeah.
Or is it? I don't know. They sent me an email. It could be a fake. I guess we'll see. But I'm excited. Wow. So interesting timing, though, that the point being that that book should land the same week of Kylo coming out to the Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
And I want to make that parody book coming out on Infinite Earths.
That would be so funny. You can get Harley Quinn narrating it, too, since she's become like the face of the LGBTQ movement. Speaking of the LGBTQ movement.
We like, Remzone. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, if we're getting really into it. Yeah. Because I know that you definitely have the time to watch things on Netflix. have you heard about the commotion going on with the new Jeffrey Dahmer series?
I've heard about the commotion. Yes, I haven't seen the show. As with everything, I haven't actually seen it.
But apparently, they went ahead and categorized Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, in the LGBTQ section of Netflix.
Because I believe, yes, he did partake in all sorts of carnal pleasures.
But, I mean, he is a gay icon. So technically, if you want to talk purely about, you know, what made him famous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying not to discriminate here. So who are we to judge that just because he murdered and ate people that he wasn't a value, a part of the LGBTQ plus? Well, he's the plus. That's the plus.
He's the first.
The plus is cannibalism, murder, and...
As far as we know, he was the first gay serial killer. So, I mean, that should make him famous.
Maybe we should do a general news show, not just a comic news show. I forgot. Well, now we're talking about Jeffrey Dahmer. What happened here?
We're taking a step back. Well,
because he's coming out. Did he go on a coming out tour?
All of this.
It's the last thing his victims heard. They're like, by the way, he's like, otherwise, like, I'm gay. They're like, no, not that too. Like, he's about to eat their heart. Like, and you're gay? What?
I'm not comparing Jeffrey Dahmer to Superman's son, but that's as ridiculous as it looks right now. Everyone wants to have it their way. Tom Taylor has
Jeffrey Dahmer ate a person at a time. Superman's son is threatening to like destroy planets.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. A little more manageable with Dahmer.
Yeah. Superman's son has the social agenda of Barack Obama and the foreign policy of George Bush. It's not working out.
If I had a son, he would look just like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay, we gotta move on to some brighter things, which is one I did not anticipate ever. Oh, yeah,
we're a comic book
on.
Podcast. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, little things like that. I did not anticipate us getting any Deadpool 3 news. And at first,
they kept that one. They did the whole D3 announcement with all these slates of Phase 4 and 5 and 6. Did they? Yeah, the and 6. But there were obviously holes, especially if you see how much content we get now. There's obviously more stuff we're going to hear from, and I knew this had to be one of them, but I am kind of surprised how soon after D3 that we got the actual Deadpool announcement. Maybe they just wanted to keep it its own separate thing.
Well, I mean, I have a theory, which I'll get to in a moment. I'll just say it now. My theory is that because She-Hulk has completely tanked everything, that they need to go ahead and bring in the Hail Mary, which is Ryan Reynolds. So for the final
episode of She-Hulk, I'm going to bring you, we're going to combine forces again, and we're going to debate the entire series. That's what we're going to do.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, tune in to patreon.com/secondprintpod for She-Hulk recaps. Sometimes in the beginning, it was both me and Remzo. Then it became me. Then Remzo came in for an episode, very, very angry. And now it's I'm going to ride this one out.
My last review is just, why does this suck? Why?
After I heard that,
why
I was like,
She-Hulk?
Move over, buddy. I'll take this. I think for your mental health and everybody else's, you need to step away from that show. Look, sneak preview. I haven't recorded my reaction yet. I actually think if you watch the last episode,
where's Daredevil?
I don't think they did this on purpose too. They gave us a Daredevil teaser, thinking it would be the next episode. They're gonna make that the freaking season finale. Now I realize it. They're gonna make us tune in every week.
Where's Daredevil?
I'm not gonna spoil anything. Are you still watching it, or are you not gonna watch it?
I'm gonna watch the new episode tonight.
All right. When you watch,
I didn't
the new
wake
episode
up early this morning and watch it like I had every other Marvel series.
I want you to just text me tomorrow when you watch the episode, your honest thoughts, not about everything, but about some characters that appeared that had never
appeared. Where's Daredevil?
I just want your opinion, and that's it.
Where's Daredevil?
And I'll read your text. That's all your text. You're going to text me. Where is he?
What have they done to him? Is he safe? Is he alive? I'm talking like Darth Vader.
While we're going on tangents, I saw that, what was the movie, what's the actor's name that plays Daredevil? Help me here, you know this stuff.
Charlie Cox.
Yeah, that guy. He was auditioning for something, I don't know what, I don't remember.
He was auditioning for the role of Solo, of Han Solo.
Oh yeah, that's right, so you know the story. And he was looking, you know, away, for, like, past the audition person. Like, he wasn't looking towards the camera, and they're like, hey, you're good and all, but, like, what's this? And he realized he'd been acting as Daredevil for so long that he just naturally couldn't look at people when he was talking. It's pretty fucking hilarious. I wonder if that was happening in his real life too. I wonder if that happened in his real life too. Like, he's on a date and he's just like not looking at the chick. It's like, sorry, I played a blind man. Have you seen Daredevil? Just don't watch season 3. Skip right to Born Again. That's my advice. I've tried to watch Daredevil season 3 twice, and every time I remember why I didn't watch it the time before. It's just depressing, and he's just like in this fucking church recovering from Defenders. I don't blame him recovering from Defenders. I'm still recovering from Defenders, but he's just sitting there recovering from Defenders for like 6 episodes. I'm sure something else happens, but that's all I've gotten from Daredevil
season 3. If the new Daredevil series is Daredevil Born Again, then Daredevil season 3 should be christened Daredevil Catholic Guilt.
Yeah. Do you think they'll go with the old Born Again storyline, or do you think it's just they're just pulling the name just to, you know, Easter egg some fans and then a totally new story?
I hope it's not based off the Born Again storyline.
That storyline is where Karen Page, because she's on drugs, threatens, I don't know if she threatens or does reveal Daredevil's identity, or she's threatening to, or she blackmails him or something like that.
She threatens to. It's not. I want them to go with the Kevin Smith Daredevil series. Daredevil Visionaries, where they kill Karen, even though they had a moment almost like that in Daredevil season 3 where they pulled enough of it. But there's a lot of story in there potentially, especially if you're going to bring in other Marvel characters. Like, there were, like, Black Widow was in that, obviously, in the MCU you can't pull that. But you know, the Daredevil Born Again is not my favorite. Daredevil Rebirth, which came after Shadowland, wasn't my favorite. I like the idea that they can take a lot of different stories and combine it for an original story. That's what I loved about Daredevil season 1, where they really integrated the Hand. I loved how they really brought in more elements with the introduction of the Punisher in season 2. And I like how they even did Bullseye in season 3. It's not what I would have done, but I was happy with how they did it. And they combined elements of Daredevil Visionaries and a few other Marvel Knights stories and stuff into that. So I think if they follow with what the Netflix series did, but they throw in more of the broader MCU elements to it, it'll be fine. But here's where things are going to get weird, because if we thought, how are we going to integrate Daredevil into the broader MCU now, is going to be hard. Let's get back to what Ryan Reynolds dropped, which is,
oh yes,
Deadpool.
Back to news. I've almost forgot we were a news show.
Deadpool 3 will come out in 2024, but Hugh Jackman's back, which is not what I saw coming.
They told me he died in Logan.
Well, they didn't just tell you he died in Logan. They're like,
not just the character though. He said, I'm not even talking like canon, because obviously that's not in canon. They actually did it. Did you see the video where they?
Yeah, the follow up where it's like Logan is
Logan
still
takes
there.
Place in 2029. That still happened. This is different. Like, okay, that actually makes sense. I'll buy that. So I guess the question is, So what the announcement is just that he's going to be, that Hugh Jackman is going to be in it, which tells me that Hugh Jackman is going to be in Secret Wars. Because if you're going to have Hugh Jackman come back from being dead in Logan, not even canonically, I just mean like he said, I don't want to play the character anymore. So fuck that. Marvel gave him $1 billion. So now he's going to change his mind. So you may as well keep him through Secret Wars. Because you also heard the Ian McClellan thing too, that he's coming back for. That was one of those other rumors.
I thought that was a.
I think it's like a confirmed rumor. It's like a rumor that we think is probably true, that he's going to be back as Magneto. And you know you're going to have, they're doing Secret Wars and they're doing Toby. If you're going to do Secret Wars, do Secret Wars. You may as well go wild here. And if we don't get fucking Blade, Wesley Snipes Blade in Secret Wars. Well, am I going to threaten these people?
Actually, here's a Blade update. Blade update. Mahershala Ali is really pissed at Kevin Feige. Feige wants to have limited to no involvement in Blade, and the Blade director has quit. And to wrap it all up, the script, which they were about to go into pre-production for, apparently that was a lie. The script is only 90 pages long. Which is not
short?
Enough.
Or is that short for a script?
That's short. That's short by any standard. So basically, Blade
don't we have to see him meet the swordsman or the Black Knight?
That happened. He already recorded that thing. They can't roadie him before he even shows his face.
So do you think there's a trouble on the home front with Mahershala Ali's relationship with the studio, or is that they don't give a fuck about this movie? They're like, I don't know.
I think we just did it
because he wanted to. We don't really have plans here.
I think Kevin Feige, and this is coming from a source who said this, so this is all rumor, but a source is saying that Mahershala Ali is upset that not only did the director not get much instruction from Marvel, but that Kevin Feige has had almost no involvement in it. And that sucks, because for them to do a lot of things they need to do, they need Feige's approval as producer to do it.
How can he be involved in... There's got to be stuff he's not that involved with, because there's so much shit now. Back in the day, it was a movie or two every few years when it first started. But now it's 18 shows, 24 movies. Like, of course, there's got to be stuff he's just basically hands off with. So it sounds like this is one of those.
Yeah. So it's just really lackluster. According to the same source who got a preview of the rough script that they were working off of for now, it was a very generic paint by the numbers Blade film. You know, it matched a lot of the early MCU tones. So we're talking like, you know, Iron Man with vampires, basically. And it had like one or two big action sequences that were very heavy CGI. And Mahershala Ali is like, this is not what I was sold on for Blade. Like, it was going to be a very different type of movie. So it's just, I don't know if that means that they're going to push it back. I don't know if it's all just fake, just a rumor, just something someone spread just for the hell of it. I don't know. But if Mahershala Ali is angry, they need to fix that shit, because he's the only one I'm really excited about right now in terms of new actors they're bringing into the MCU. And I mean, this isn't somebody who is not in demand. He's an Academy Award winning actor. Everything he does makes a good amount of money. So, I mean, they need to fix their shit.
Maybe Mahershala Ali should try to replicate his Academy Award success, because I do believe he won the Oscar for portraying Ezra Ramzo, a gay man. So maybe we switch this up. Maybe Blade. So maybe that's what Blade was showing up to tell the Black Knight at the end of Eternals. He's coming out. Let's do a Blade coming out party.
And I'm that's a gay the movie. Vampire.
And that's the movie. And then maybe he'll recapture that Academy Award magic. Yeah.
How have we not been hired to do the writing for this stuff?
That is the question on our minds. So we're going to keep talking about it until someone actually decides to pony up whatever little amount of money it would take.
It's very little. We're talking like compliments and words of affirmation.
You do $1 or $2 more than we get on Patreon, I think we're pretty much in. Yeah. Well, we could probably manage both. We can still do the show, right?
Going back a little bit. Are you happy to see Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine? Do you think this is setting the character back because Marvel is not allowing it to grow? I mean, I people have mixed feelings on it. Personally, I'm like, you know what? I always wanted to see Deadpool, like the real Deadpool and Wolverine in the proper context, not that X-Men Origins bullshit with Baraka Pool and shit. Like, part of me is happy to see that. But also at the same time, it's like, I was really done with Wolverine, at least Hugh Jackman's performance in Logan. I was already more than ready, because it's been 5 years, to see somebody else with the claws. So I'm just like, I understand both sides of people being really excited and being kind of upset.
Well, that the one thing it might make it tough for, because what I am certain of, which the, I think they are going to do. So the whole thing with the Fox characters is that they can't use new people, new actors, until a certain amount of time has passed, until those old deals have passed, something like that. I'm not sure
if that
applied
to the contract when they acquired the studio.
I don't think it applies to like Hugh Jackman and them, but I think the current set of X-Men, the last batch, maybe they got around it with Quicksilver because he's playing a different. No, it was the same guy playing Quicksilver. Whatever. I think the Quicksilver thing is a whole different thing. But whatever. Yeah, there's something like that. So maybe because they can't bring in new Wolverine yet or new Professor X yet, then that's why we had Patrick Stewart. That's why we have, you know, maybe they're going to give us one more round of Logan here with Hugh Jackman. To cut to the chase, yeah, I am actually excited about it, because at the end of the day, he was fucking awesome in that character. Ryan Reynolds is incredible as Deadpool. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if this is going to bring Deadpool over to our MCU, but it is going to be an MCU movie, I believe. So I assume there's going to be some multiversal bullshit here. Whatever they got to do, I'm sure I will enjoy it, because Hugh Jackman's amazing in this character. And yeah, I don't care. I'm fine. Yeah, I'll still imagine that Logan happens after whatever happens in this movie. That works for me. I'll take it. I'm cool with it. And I'm certainly not one of these people that's going to feel betrayed by the fact that he's coming back to the character after he said he was done with the character. I'll play Wolverine for $5 million. I'll go back on my word for $5 million.
Dude,
I
think if Marvel puts out a few more stinkers like She-Hulk and some of the other shit like Eternals, I have a feeling that Robert Downey Jr. is going to come back.
She-Hulk so much.
They've just desecrated.
RD Jr. is 100% coming back. They might wait 5 years. I don't know if he'll come back as this version of Iron Man, but he will
step on the screen as Iron Man again.
I don't think he'll be like, yeah, I didn't really die, or that would annoy me, but they'll bring the character. I mean, the thing is with the multiverse now, here's the question of the day. What will we see first? Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man or Tom Cruise Iron Man?
Honest answer, I think we'd see both.
I don't know why you'd lie about it. Well, I didn't say we wouldn't see both. I said, which one do you think?
No,
we'll
I
see
think
first?
We'd see both at the same time.
The same exact
like,
frame
hi,
of video.
I'm Tony, and this is Tony.
I can. That actually
have
could
a
be
problem.
I do think we have to see this Tom Cruise Iron Man at some point. It's too fan cast already, and because Feige's a freak, he pays off fan castings. That's what he does. So I think we're gonna see it at some point. So it feels like a Secret Wars thing to me. It feels like Secret Wars, where we're going to really get it out of our system. I think we're going to get the X-Men that we know out of our system. I don't think we're seeing the real X-Men debut until after Phase 6. I don't even see where it could fit in.
I think we'll even see Halle Berry, the chick who played Jean Grey, James
Fomke
Madsen.
Johnson or the
yeah,
other one?
Yeah, the chick from Goldeneye.
She's
yeah.
the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the one.
We're going to get her. We're going to get James Madsen. We might even get Kelsey Grammer, Beast. Like, I think we're going to see OG X-Men.
I would take that. I think we're going to see a good number of them, for sure. Because why not? Yeah. Why not? If you're going to do this, get it out of our system. I guess the only problem is if we, you know, it's been a while since we had Hugh Jackman Wolverine. If they're casting a new Wolverine casting, it might be kind of tough. Like, we had taken him out of our memory, but now you just put him back. And now we're going to compare him so recently to this new Wolverine. I think that might make it more difficult for the new characters that are eventually cast as the new MCU.
Hugh Jackman is just going to take as much, like, you know, fetus blood and human, like, you know, genome experiments to keep himself alive and young for so long. I think he'll be in this role another 100 years.
I don't see why not. Has he aged? He has not aged since the first movie, right?
He's in his mid-50s, and it's like he's like Tom Cruise. I don't know what pact with the devil they did, but like if he could come back for this Wolverine, he can do a lot.
All right. Well, I'm excited about it, and I am excited about the month of October because it's spooky season, and we almost forgot about spooky season, but you did not, and coincidentally or not, it's kind of worked out because you did a show on Werewolf by Night in last episode. Prior to that, I brought in my friend Eric. We did Something's Killing the Children. As we discussed before the show, I'm going to take a semi-sabbatical here for a few weeks on the main show, but you will be continuing in the Spooktober tradition and finding some more spooky stories, maybe some guests to come talk about this stuff with. Meanwhile, for the patrons out there, don't worry. I'm going to be behind the scenes pumping out, catching up on the bonus content. So we decided to sort of split the duties here because, look, hey, I survived a hurricane, all right? And Remzo just survived, you know, the cock ring. I mean, the cock ring, the cockfighting ring.
I survived the cock ring. Cockfighting is a whole other dilemma, which I can't speak about for legal reasons.
Yeah.
I can talk about the cock ring all day. I can't talk about the cockfighting.
That being said, we do appreciate your support here, and that's why we started doing this extra show every single Friday, SBC Newsroom. We hope you enjoy it. Until then, we'll see you next Wednesday, and as always, don't forget to read comics. And what now?
Change the world! That is correct. Good night, America.
Adios.